Everyone having completed the last mission and Enyanus. Who handled Enyanus in their driver? Yeah, me too. CI, most cards speak little Endian. So you're on Intel laptop, Intel emulated machine, so you don't have to do any Endian conversions. However, those of you, everything will come out backwards. When you put the address you dump to the source, unless you fix the Endian, it will start DMA. Only reason to write a macro is one of those arguments, member, is not, it's actually a name of a structure member, like result, or therefore you need a macro. So these magic write register and read register macros take the value, for example, do the register take, do the write in that location. So this is basically just a cleanup. We're coming back from lunch. We've got a postprandial thing happening. The blood flow is gone. Question? And you've got the poison one inside, you want the enclosing one. We have this cool macro called containerOf that takes the outer enclosing type and the name of the member. The type you're inside, that will clean up your code. We're going to have to speed up a bit because I know a lot of you have been complaining we're going too slow. We have a couple more cheat sheets.
You're back.
Who wants the
second? But not including the last assignment.
Chars, the structure is uses U32s the whole way through, so we don't have to worry about padding. That's why we can use this trick. If we had something weird, you'd either have to manually insert padding in the structure so it to be exactly how you said.
Hardware will usually manually put padding in if they know that on alignments they do something stupid. Like, they can't handle unaligned data.
In the kernel,
you have to know.
In the kernel, you have to handle it, so every output just switches to trap. It could cause performance. Although in practice, you're not going to use it. It's unlikely. But in the specific case of a driver, probably not.
So last couple of lessons we've looked at physical versus virtual memory. Vert to fizz.
It used to be on PPC. I'm not sure if it's fixed now where it's 32.
Okay, on x86 I didn't have to add any headers.
Could always grep.
CPU
fizz isn't really the way to go. Some screwy French guy said some crap that we were really breaking everything. He's gone now, but we still feel bad, so we're going to teach you how to do DMA memory correctly. We have two concerns with way. Well, our Love Rusty 3000. 3000? Yeah, 3000. We've passed it up. We have these issues of something called coherence. And because processors have caches, we have to worry about what if the data is in a cache and the processor and a device writes to physical memory. Is the cache in a cache for some indeterminate amount of time? When does it hit the device? So we have questions about the ordering between processor reads and writes and device reads and writes with DMA memory. And so some memory with the function DMA all at coherent, it returns a void star. Pass it a dev structure, not a PCI dev, but a struct device. You can get at that through PCI dev, arrow dev. It's just somewhere else.
Address all.
Yeah, let's fix it in the next slide.
Okay.
Yeah, you want the address of that. Sizes, the size and bytes of what your location flags, the same as what we looked at with KMalloc. And this bad boy is defined in ASM DMA-mapping.h.
So that allocates will give you both the physical and virtual. So you don't have to add.
Depending on the architecture, VirtuFizz is neither DMA capable or virtual, or coherent.
This will give you both the things you need. You get the.
Right. Works just like K-free, except you have to pass it a shitload of shit. Again, you pass it a pointer to the dev, pass it the size, pass it the buff, which is the returned value, but this one, the first time, is a pointer.
The DMA allocator wants to return two things, physical and virtual, but turns the virtual and
now we use the DMA, and that's the physical address. So the beauty of this interface is that it gives you both. You know, in general, everything wants virtual addresses, normal pointers, but devices want the physical address. And then we'll replace the VirtuFizz with DMA alloc coherent. And when you're done, free it, or when you need to clean up. And so, char out, and instead of doing VirtuFizz, pass either the return value or the DMA value as needed. All right?
So eliminate VirtuFizz and use dynamic allocation rather than stack. Even though it's only one thing in there at the moment, that structure is going to end up holding more and more crap with all that driver. So yeah, the stuff that you're going to need to clean up has to get... Who's finished? There you go. So that's the hard core. I think that guy should have
someone just pointed out that there's a DMA alloc no coherent. What does that do? Well, it gives you DMA capable memory that's not coherent.
It's an incoherent program.
Yeah. People that just talk gibberish. Yes, x86 is actually, it doesn't have coherent issues whatsoever. So, but yeah, you want coherent.
Who's crashed their machine so far? Like the
Kirby.
You guys
are the
Has anyone finished yet?
Yeah,
got a couple.
Yeah, we're actually crashing.
So we're going to keep on with her.
What's next?
Syllabus. Yes?
Yeah, that one. Great.
Asm DMA-mapping.h has the protocols.
Should have put on the mission system.
One trick I did use here, you can see I took out the out, so DMA page. I actually only allocate one page, but I split it in half. Not for waste memory, no, I kept this memory away, because it's a whole page.
Or just copy the string literal in this case, right? But as you can see, I allocate a page size, which I know is going to be at least 4K. Fails, standard thing, enoman, gonna unmap. I write halfway through the page into the destination register. And then.
Yeah, no, it's just.
Question, yep.
Can we use the address that was given by the ALEC rather than passing a page to the DMA interface? Am I making sense?
No. Let's look at that.
Yeah. The address at the print K, are they important?
No?
When you print a HR start page,
yep.
You wouldn't need to cast.
If I used in.
Down the very bottom of your screen.
Yes, if I used in isn't actually what I fed to the driver. I fed the driver a copy of it. So that's it.
Yeah, in which case, sorry, the free coherent wants both virtual and physical.
Yeah. Yep.
Can one always be determined?
Then you're going to have to put the length in there as well.
So when does he get closure?
Okay. So we will move along. Thumbs up. One of the three, in fact, can actually send you an interrupt when it's done. Okay? Remember way back.
Welcome to the world of modern hardware.
Fires off all this stuff. Or boot, we've built it in, the brains. We can also have an interrupt handler. And we can tell the card when this interrupt comes in. And it's called request IRQ. IRQ is an interrupt request. It means interrupt. It takes an interrupt number, a handler, which is your function to call. Interrupt handler. You'll actually see that listed by the interrupt number. Dev ID is a unique identifier because there could actually be void star at the end, gets handed through to the interrupt handler.
So you pass it something useful.
So you pass it something useful, right?
And unique.
That's a void star. Yep.
Where do you get the IRQ from?
Aha. Good question.
We will teach you that.
That's right.
Yep.
And then I'll figure out how to
say. So to be able to share an interrupt, hardware has to be able to ascertain whether or not it actually fired. In most hardware, 10% of dev IDs in the kernel, if not 100, are passing in either a struct device or a struct PCI device. Because A, it's unique, it's tied to your device, and B, all your data's in there and you could, you know, stuff in it. So you can't just pass any interrupt handler. IRQ is the interrupt number, it gets passed in, it's almost always irrelevant. Data is the dev ID value. It's obviously it's given, so IRQ return T crap. Well, these things used to return void up until early 2.6? I don't know. Linus had this great idea. We can detect spurious interrupts if we have the interrupt returned whether or not, and there's IRQ none, which is returned on failure. If you return IRQ none and any other interrupt lines on that interrupt line also, they all, I think the timer interrupt should set that. Second one says I can share. I'm capable of being shared. And the third one says my interrupts come in non-deterministically, and you can measure the second and third order deltas. They come from.
This is where it comes from.
Your mouse. Your mouse, your keyboard, good sources. Hard disk, good sources. Your 60. Your yeah, you know, there's lots of place stuff where you have to do that. When you're done, you have to free your IRQ. You pass in the IRQ line and the dev ID. You pass in the dev ID because if the IRQ line is shared, that's how the kernel figures out who actually wants. Basically what you do is you'd call this function that set up a mask of interrupts. You poke your hardware, and then you call Greg's book. It has a lot, or at least it used to in the 2.4 edition, a lot on this. But nothing needs to do this anymore, except old devices. PCI makes it easy. PCI does plug and play at the lowest levels, so you basically just like, yo, what's your IRQ? It puts the IRQ in the IRQ element in your PDEV. So there you go. That's what you pass in. Easy. So your mission, for your dev ID, you know, figure out what you want to know in your interrupt handler and pass that in. For the flags, do you use SHIRQ?
Yeah, use SHIRQ to say, I can share IRQ with someone.
Yeah, there's...
yeah, we're about to find out. And right after you inactivate or after you get in IRQ on DMA complete. Hopefully, then it should work exactly as before. You don't have to change anything in your drive. It's all spinning everything at the moment. But it should call your interrupt handler for you.
Actually, I'll go back and show you all these previous slides. Yeah. What?
That's a void.
Make sure you add the thing from the spec, this guy, along with, so that means you want to set both bits. And then your interrupt handler will hit. But don't change this guy first.
Now, when someone's got it working and booting and printing, it's okay.
Thank you. You done? All right.
Who's done? Okay, we've got a smattering of done.
Does anyone have a problem?
Is anyone really completely
Yeah.
_LE32.
There.
Although if you don't have that, it won't stop me working.
Is anyone...
brackets, size of LR3K, comma GFP kernel.
That'd be rather short.
Close brackets, semicolon. To be 4 bytes, size of the pointer. Came out to bad in.
Okay. All right, here's ours.
That's the old one.
Here's not ours.
Oh, no. Okay, this is ours, yeah. LR3K, you can do under stringify, cable and quad name. This cable and quad name is literally LR3K, not in quotes. You need to turn it into a string. And the under stringify
can be drive struct too.
Exactly. You do exactly the same thing with the drive struct. Use the same trick everywhere. Right? And that way, if it's all renamed to the file later, to blah, free IRQ down the bottom. Right? In the case where it fails, we need to free the IRQ.
I just think of it.
Okay. Any questions about that? Yep. Stringify is in Linux stringify.h, but it's actually implicitly included by module.h. You hand it the void star, that's what you get back when the interrupt finally fires. So therefore, we have enough. We can actually do useful work in the interrupt. Okay. Sorry, what do I need? yeah, sorry, it's off the bottom of the screen. That was before. There. You don't get interrupts. Stick on.